Welcome to the Office Space Podcast with your host, Dougal Jeppy, where he and his guests discuss relevant topics that are affecting occupiers of office space.
Hi, so my guest today is Andy McGregor from Ascend Construction. He's the president there. Ascend is a skyline company, and Andy's been in the business for a number of years. He was actually on this podcast just about a year ago. And I was telling Andy, I was listening to that podcast over the weekend to hear what some of the highlights were and what some of the predictions were. And it is truly amazing that almost a year has passed since that conversation. And in some ways, so much has changed, and in some other ways, not that much has changed. So this is going to be interesting because there's a lot going on from a construction standpoint. And Andy really has his finger on the pulse of certainly the Chicago office construction market, but also because they're the parent company is based out of San Francisco. He has some good line of sight on some national items. So Andy, welcome to the program again.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. It's good to talk to you again.
So congrats. I saw on your website, you guys won some award, the Let's Get Real Industry Innovator Award at Construction in 2020. Yeah. What was that about?
It was pretty cool. It was a couple things. It was largely our pandemic response and, you know, doing a lot of thought leadership pieces on what needed to happen to keep people safe and then implementing some of those things, you know, especially as it resulted to communications with workers, with disinfecting of job sites. So it was something we were really proud of. And, you know, it wasn't something that was that heavy of a lift to accomplish as far as the, you know, the basis for the award. It just seemed like we were doing the right thing at the time, and it was nice to be recognized for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to win anything, especially during a time when all the award shows, everything like that, were all virtual.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of winning in 2020.
Congratulations on that win.
Yeah, thanks.
So when we talked back in June, you know, Chicago is entering phase three, which they had described as cautious reopening, and then the riots came in. And if you recall that, you know, there was like, you know, I got a sense from our conversation, there was a sense of optimism a bit, and it was really only a few months into this thing. Pretty crazy how that kind of evolved and turned into a year. But as it stands right now, can you give us a little state of the office market, the office construction market right now in Chicago and then nationally?
Yeah, sure. So Chicago, it seems, is always the last to recover. Our recessions are a little deeper and longer. You know, and sometimes our peaks are a little higher. A couple of years ago, we had more tower cranes up than anywhere else in the country. So, you know, we're just starting to recover. We're starting to see a little bit more volume in the way of budgets. The architectural billings index is up, which means 3 to 6 months, we'll get busier. But, you know, we're still in a deep freeze here in Chicago. You know, anytime you shut off deal flow for a year, you've got deals that are 3 months, six months, 18 months out from a deal, depending on the size and sophistication. And, you know, so we're seeing everything downstream of that decreased activity on the office side really be affected.
Yeah. And how are you managing that from the actual labor side of your business?
You know, we right-sized our staff really early in the pandemic. You know, I saw that there's going to be a prolonged decline. Just the sentiment out there, just it felt like that was going to happen. That's what happened. So we're very fortunate that we had some good long-term backlog, some clients that were committed to sizable deals that had back-end real estate pressure or had a need to accomplish something and get it done. And so that's kept us really busy, and it's those deals are starting to wind down, and it's just sort of fortunate timing that the market is starting to come back. You know, I think that a lot of our competition really got battered. I just heard that a large general contractor who's been around for 70, 80 years is closing their doors. So this is really starting to affect some people. And the bigger tenant only construction firms who are at scale, I think have been hurt pretty badly.
So on a general percentage basis, how far down is your business year over year?
Mine is actually up, but we were growth stage. We opened our doors in 2019, and had a pretty ambitious growth plan, which we would have completely destroyed if not for the pandemic. And instead, we're roughly right now in line with 2020 revenue, and with however many months, 7 months left in the year to fill in some more. So we're in pretty good shape. And, you know, I'm happy that we've been able to grow through this. I would have liked to grow a lot more, but you make the best of what you got.
Yeah. Congratulations. That by itself is quite impressive in any industry, really during the last year. And what are you looking, you said the billings index is up, which indicates to you guys, you know, in 3 to 5 months, you're going to start seeing some dollars in the door. Are there any other kind of signs of light or anything else that's you're keeping track of?
Yeah. The other leading indicator for us is when coastal cities heat up or other markets heat up, and Silicon Valley is on fire right now. San Francisco is in a similar deep freeze to us. I think the large cities with heavy population density, where you had a lot of workers coming in on public transportation and high rises, are going to be slower to recover. So New York, Chicago, San Francisco, I think that people have come to terms with the idea that it doesn't necessarily make sense to have cube farms downtown in these high rises when a lot of that work can be done from home. Not all of it, but
yeah.
And I think some companies are just kind of waiting to see what they can still do effectively from home. The mid-sized cities and the large suburban markets seem to be faring the best with recovery. So Silicon Valley, Bellevue, Washington, Austin, Washington, D.C. And those don't have that same density that Chicago, San Francisco, or New York has. Now, there are other places that I feel like got hotter through the pandemic, like Phoenix, Salt Lake City, you know, certain part, Dallas, I think got hotter.
Certain parts of Florida.
Yep. Yeah, Florida. Yep. The areas that where you could be outside year round, it typically red states where, you know, they weren't super harsh with lockdowns and restrictions. So I think that's positive too. We'll see. And I do think that even though there might be some short-term migration to those areas, they're going to outpace their infrastructure, similar to what you saw in Austin or Nashville. And a lot of that office space will come back to cities and collar markets.
And we're starting to see some increase in pricing, and in some cases significant, in steel and wood, and delays on certain items. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, it's this is unlike anything I've seen in my 20-some year career. Anything made from steel right now is a real problem. You know, metal bar joists for industrial type buildings is like a 30-week lead time. I mean, normally it's 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. So that, and a lot of that is because, you know, when you look at industrial construction, in the last year, Amazon has just been on this bender of building. And among the large contractors, I saw a statistic that said 33% of the capacity, the industrial capacity among the 10 largest industrial contractors was Amazon work. So they put a huge demand pressure on supply of bar joists. And then on top of that, you've got the steel tariffs playing into things. So now you're more reliant on domestic supply. And then going back the last year, all these steel fabricators and plants and mills have reduced capacity. Some of it, they've had workers get sick. Some of it is just, you know, spacing for social distancing. And then on top of that, you have freight shortages right now. Just trucks, there aren't enough trucks to cart all of the construction freight and all the other consumer goods that are now being shipped all over the place instead of bought locally. So, it's quite interesting. You even see some regional issues where California is a net importer among states for manufactured goods. So freight carriers are reluctant to pick up loads going to California because they won't have a return load coming back. Mm. So things like that are making this recovery kind of complicated. You also have some black swan events. Remember in Texas, you had the deep freeze and they were out without power for a while.
Yeah.
Something like 80% of the domestic latex supply is milled in Texas and stored in Texas, and latex can't freeze. So taping compound, latex paint are relying on that supply. And so now you have all that product was tainted and you've got some real supply issues there. And that's caused prices to go up, lead times to go up. We've never seen lead times before on something like tape and compound. Drywall, you know, we've never had to order drywall super far in advance, maybe for a large job a couple weeks. But now you're looking at 4 weeks for large orders, 4 to 8 for large orders for just wallboard. And we know that that product is going to increase in price for the next probably 18 months. Drywall studs, because they're metal. Those are an 8-week lead time. So what we see happening is some of our drywall contractors, they cannot place an order now because there's so much demand without having a specific job. So when they're bidding a job, they send it to two different supply houses and they'll award both of them and they'll just stock one of the orders in their warehouse just so that they have materials for other jobs. Light fixtures, mechanical equipment, anything with steel components, with semiconductors, similar to the automobile shortage. You've got semiconductors in any electronic ballast for an LED fixture, in any mechanical equipment like a fan power box or an air conditioning unit, shades, shade controllers. It's amazing how many things are touched by some of the issues that we have. And it's just requiring a lot of extra due diligence on the front end. And then there's some explaining to do with why the drywall line item is up 25% from where it has been historically. And I remember reviewing a budget about 3 months ago for a large law firm. And I saw the dollars per square foot for the drywall line. It was $29. And I look at it, I'm like, this number is wrong. It's just, that's typically a $10 to $20 a foot item. And when we got into it, yeah, there was some scope that was heavy. There were a lot of drywall ceilings, but it was largely these material price increases driving that.
And what sort of pricing increases can an office occupier expect? I mean, is it 10%, 15, 20?
Right now, I think we're roughly, because Chicago is still in desperation mode labor-wise. There's a lot of guys on the bench. Subcontractor volumes are down. They burn through their PPP money. They are aggressive. So as are the general contractors. So instead of getting 3 bids per trade, general contractors are getting 5 and 6. There's always somebody really desperate. The labor aggression and the reduced markups on the subcontractor side to date have largely offset the material cost increases. I think we're reaching an inflection point where that's not the case anymore. I'd be lying if I could tell you what sort of price escalation to expect, but these price increases due to demand pressure is going to be happening for the next year, I believe. We know the drywall suppliers are their scheduling increases well into 2022, quarterly increases, and they've already issued those letters to the supplier, to the subcontractors. This, some of the steel stuff, I think supply will catch up with demand for steel. I think that will probably be alleviated in the next quarter. Some of it depends on how robust this recovery is and what the total construction demand is, because this is all really supply and demand. Mm-hmm. The freight stuff, I don't know when that'll get better, but the black swan events like the tape and compound freezing, that's something they should be able to catch up with supply relatively quickly. So I don't really know, but I do worry that even as we burn off some of these supply issues, that you've got broader inflation in the market because of all the stimulus money that's been printed and just everything kind of catching fire and people mm-hmm. being fully open, businesses needing to build, and just this increased money supply and consumer spending. Mm-hmm. And then who knows what happens with interest rates. But that's sort of the macroeconomic outlook, is that we see a slight pause in some of this escalation or even a dip mm-hmm. right around fourth quarter. And it's a temporary lull until the greater economy really catches up. Things are fully open and there's a lot more demand pressure on construction as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So how can an office occupier protect themselves for price increases?
Hire us now. I mean, that's the long and short of it is, look, there's alternative products. You find the anomalies where there's a desired material, and there's you find a supply somewhere, or you find an alternative product that's made out of something else that is more readily available or costs less. You really have to work early on evaluating all these long lead items, evaluating all the cost increases, and it's a lot of extra effort on our part. You know, we're going through every budget line item line by line, and where there are anomalies that are out of line with historical pricing data, we're going, okay, how do we get this back in line? So the only way you do that is getting people on board early. The other thing is we have the ability, and I think it may be short-lived as things really pick up, but as you place an order and you put a deposit down, you can typically guarantee your pricing. So that's something that, you know, we want to do starting now. The other thing is, as these subcontractors get busier, as the market picks back up, there's just going to be way less leverage. People need the work now. I think even if the recovery were here and in full effect, it takes the subcontractors a good 3 to 6 months to act like it. So people keep taking work really cheaply. I was on a call with ITR Economics that does a lot of forecasting and sells data. And it was largely contractors, and the economists from ITR was saying, hey, over the next 6 weeks, do not take the cheap work. The good work is coming, and you just need to act like it. But we're contractors, we're relatively hand to mouth a lot of the time, and it's hard to change old behaviors, and people just, they don't feel that recovery yet, but we know it's coming.
Yeah. Well, we've had significant amount of activity on things, and it's still, you know, if the company's nimble enough to address how they're going to work and they feel comfortable that an employee can get from their front door into the office space, figuring out how to make the office space safe and work through the seating arrangements and the furniture is manageable. But we still got to get through some of the school issues. School's almost over for the until the summer, and then the public transportation. But it seems to be a lot of our clients were having really meaningful and moving forward on projects and spending a lot more time talking about how you're going to reconfigure the furniture and how are you going to take that private office and turn it into a small conference room. And that seems to be where a lot of the capital is being deployed.
Yeah. And we're seeing some of the same. We've had a few requests of, okay, can you get this done by September? Or can you get this done by January? Where people are drawing a line in the sand and having a hard target for getting people back in the office. I've had a couple conversations where people want to basically retool their whole office just to make people feel safe and make them want to come back. You know, some folks are pretty high on the work from home thing. And I think some employers are realizing, okay, this could have been a nicer place for people to be. Let's make it something really nice so people want to be there and not at home. So I think there are definitely some bright spots in all of this, and there's some markets. The cloud kitchen market is on fire. I don't know if you guys are seeing some of those deals, but we've heard a lot of discussions around that type of work.
Yeah, anything really to do with food research or anything to do with food is doing quite well.
Yeah, that and the life sciences stuff. So,
yeah,
I've heard about a lot of opportunistic tenant brokers wanting to try and retrofit office buildings into lab space, and that's a tough sell.
Yeah, I mean that's taking $150 square foot space and turning it into $250 square foot space. Yeah. That's a lot of capital.
Yeah, and it's things like shaft space and power and the size of the waistlines and just things that really, if you're dealing with 25, 30 stories for two floor tenant, doesn't make sense.
Right. Good. Well, it was great catching up again, and I'm probably going to splice in some comments you had about a year ago to see how that kind of jives with what you're talking now.
Oh, I'm really interested to hear that, Dougal.
And then a year from now, we're going to do the same thing, and you're going to be a little bit older, a little wiser, it's crazy. A year has gone by, but once again, appreciate your time, and look forward to working with you again.
Hey, thanks so much. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Andy, take care.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Office Space Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.